Hey, everybody, in this episode of Box Office Breakdown, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, Batman! Let's do it.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Frank, you missed a nana in there.
Let's take it from the top, everybody.
Start over. Wait, we'll be like Adele. We'll be like, wait, can we go back and start over?
Can we do that? Yep.
Yeah.
Hey,
spoilers,
everybody.
If you guys weren't watching the Grammys, but
that's true. If you did watch them or you didn't watch them, check out Carrie Lane's tweets because
I got about half or quarter of the way through and was like, here's my thoughts.
There you go. Look at that. Hey, everybody, welcome to Box Office Breakdown here on Popcorn Talk. This, of course, as always, is the show where we discuss the box office from the weekend that was, and then we like to...
I mean, we have to, like, record Quinn's voice and be like, right, and save it. Prognosticate.
That's right. Prognosticate about the box office for the week ahead. I'm your host, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie.
And hey, how's it going? My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. And yeah, I was watching Grammys past when they aired, but that's okay. I was just tweeting about it.
It's new to you.
It was new to me.
That's right.
Though I read everyone's tweets before I watched it, so then I kind of knew what highlights to look for.
Oh, see, there you go.
That was kind of cool. Yeah. It was fun.
And as always, folks, speaking of social media, you can like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And, of course, we're going to have the chat up and running so you can share all your thoughts about movies in general or this past weekend in particular. And we also have Neil in the booth as well. Hi, Neil.
Hey, what's going on?
Look at that. We're talking movies and baking. No, just kidding. We'll just
ooh,
be talking
baking?
Movies.
Ooh, baking? Yay. I like cooking. You have a lot of food stuff on your Instagram, too.
Follow me on the gram, guys, if you just want to look at
are those you cooking?
No, of course not. Oh. No, that's just me scouring around and eating food. That's right.
Well, wait, and then you guys, if you're watching this later, comment down below on your thoughts on the box office that was and what you think for the future as well.
Well, that's right. You and know? It doesn't have to be just like
thing.
The...
Yeah. Yes.
Whatever future.
Oh,
look at that. Media Shock up and early there in the chat. That's what we like to see. Good morning to you as well.
But we should say, too, in case people don't know from previous ones, due to scheduling, we have lost 2 of our team members, but that's okay. Life happens. Quinn may or may not come back at a future time, but I know some of you were asking before on when, because we're here for you, and I like that you are concerned when some of us aren't here. You're like, hey, wait a minute. And I mean, I wasn't here last week either, so, you know, I want to talk, but...
No, but Richie Sky, hopefully we're trying to get him in here so he can at least do a farewell. And that way you guys can harass him about anything that he still hasn't watched yet.
Well, go follow them on social media, too.
Yes. Now, Quinn and I did do the box office spec. And speaking there in the live chat, Star Drew starts it off there with saying, look like we made it, Frank. No 50 Shades Darker for us. Man, Quinn is on the hook. That is right. Quinn and I did the box office bet. She lost. She went 50. I went 45 for 50 Shades
Darker.
Oh,
you were close then.
Yes, almost there. So luckily enough, I dodged that box office bet bullet.
Did you see the first one?
I did not.
Okay.
So I was no desire to go see the second one either. But Quinn, and don't worry, I will be tweeting and emailing Quinn.
Like, hey.
Let her know that you've lost the box office bet. You need to go see that film and at least tweet out some feelings towards the fans so you guys can follow her feelings about 50 Shades Darker on the good old social media.
But I saw the first one, and I only watched it with a female friend who was like, I have nobody else to watch this with. Can we watch it, drink some alcohol, and enjoy it and make fun of it? And I'm like, all right, cool, let's do it. And I thought I was very disappointed in terms of, I'm like, that's it? That's what everyone's making the fuss about? This is extremely tame. I'm like, I've seen other rated R movies that are way more, like, scandalous or intense.
Yeah.
But so it's funny with the new one out, I've heard it's had not the best reviews, but... I liked when I went to the theater. So I saw John Wick 2, and so did you. But somebody in front of me was getting, it was like this elderly couple getting tickets for 50 Shades. It was like, oh, okay then.
I'll give it a little freak on. I like it. Well, we'll jump right into it. We'll do our box office bet a little bit later on in the episode for next week. Some good films to vie for your hard-earned bet in the chat. But we'll talk about this past weekend's top five. And starting off, I don't think there's any room for doubt. We all felt like doing that. At least the vibe in the chat room last week, just a general consensus seemed that the Lego Batman movie was going to kick butt. Didn't do quite as well as I thought it was going to do. I actually thought it was going to do much higher than what it did. But it ended up getting a little over $55.6 million.
Well, it's Batman. It's going to get anybody to go see it. Batman.
Yes.
Lego movies have been doing pretty well, and they have a pretty big built-in audience franchise by now. They've made a bunch of... They make everything a Lego movie by now. I'm like, there's...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Like a movie for this what, and then it's a kid movie. Kids movies always do well.
That's right. And it's a fun movie. It's definitely a fun movie. You folks in the chat, if you had a chance to see it, let us know what you think about that.
You said you saw it.
I did.
I have some insight on this. If you'd
Lay it on us, Neil.
I found out this past week that Lego is the most recognizable brand in the world.
I'm not surprised.
And it just beat out Ferrari for the most liked brand.
I feel like that's because I feel like it's much more accessible. So I feel like who wouldn't like a Lego? I would like a Lego over a Ferrari.
And it makes sense. Like there's almost zero negative connotation with Lego.
Sure, except for when you step on them in the dark.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. So just making a child's animated movie that can play internationally on the world's most recognizable and well-loved brand. Going to make money.
That's a good point.
It is, going into spoilers, what I do like about the film is that it treats everything that's ever happened in any of the Batman media at all as it has happened. So that's fun. There's a lot of nice callbacks and nods to different things throughout the years of Batman. And there's some great, great cameos from characters you would not expect to see in a Batman film.
How funny was it? Because the trailer, like, was trying to be a comedy.
Yeah, no, it is funny, but it's not one of those where you're
it
like...
It sounds like,
There are, in the theater, there was a lot of laughing.
Okay, good.
But, you know, for me, it wasn't... I enjoyed it, but it wasn't like... I didn't find myself doing a lot of laughing out loud.
Okay.
I genuinely
good
entertained
chuckles.
By it. Yes.
Okay. I was going to say, who remembers Playmobiles? Not that they got movies.
Yeah, I felt like... the only thing that seemed kind of weird is that Zach Galifianakis did the voice for Joker. And I don't know, I
didn't dig it?
I didn't dig it. I mean, and maybe that's the problem that I watched Justice League Actions, a new cartoon on Cartoon Network, a little 15-minute short new Justice League cartoons. And I watched it the morning before I saw the film, and Mark Hamill was on the doing the Joker.
Oh, so you're like,
Yeah, I mean, it's just tough to compare to Mark Hamill's awesomeness as the Joker. But what was interesting, that Zach Galifianakis, his Joker, doesn't do a signature laugh.
Like
anybody that's ever done the voice for the Joker is always their interpretation of whatever the laugh's going to be, and he doesn't have that. So maybe that's why it didn't stick out. I could never really hook into it as much as I could with the other characters. So that was just my thoughts on that. But hopefully, I'm sure this is going to do well enough that they'll do another film. Whether it's just
they're
going to
keep making Lego movies. Yeah,
I wouldn't mind seeing them expand a little bit more.
I like Media Shock's comment in the chat room: best Batman movie besides Dark Knight.
Yeah. And Media Shock brought in there that it underperformed compared to Tracking. That's true. I'm hoping, though, that it's definitely going to have some legs. Because I think word of mouth has been really good, so I could see it holding on for a while.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, coming in number two, though, 50 Shades Darker. Oof. From Universal, $46.7 million. So just look at that, $1.7 million above my original prediction. But like you were saying... I've seen that as well. The reviews, not very, very good.
Yeah, because the thing is they're saying... Okay, so the thing that I was hearing about on the reviews is, like, it makes it to be this, like, scandalously sexy movie. But, I mean, maybe if you're conservative it is, but a lot of people are like, really? That's okay. Like, I had some friends on Facebook going, yeah. Like, they heard people talking about it after, and they're like, oh, my gosh, it was so... They're just, like, really, like, major eye rolls of just, like,
It seems like it's a movie more to see to make fun of than to actually go and enjoy.
Yeah. I have these are semi just random anecdotal stories, but still, I have another friend, female friend, who's AfterBuzz host. She went with her girlfriends, and they were like, it was really fun to like watch it with the girls. But there was like a dude in the audience who reacted and just kind of was like, it was a little awkward or something. And she's like, yeah. Then everybody laughed because his like noise he made at some point, like it was quiet and like, everybody laughed after of like, oh, this is kind of weird to watch with a bunch of people. But I don't know. I'd probably watch it like later on video with like female friend and like alcoholic like the first time and be like, all right, we're just gonna take a shot every time it's something stupid.
Oh man, then you're
or
not...
something. I know, we'll be plastered.
Yes. I feel like that is just a movie built on dumbness. But I guess it's gonna do well enough to at least, I figure if you're gonna go two way, you might as well do the third one for
make it a three way.
Make it a three way. There you go.
I mean it's interesting because it's like it, I mean, that is a funny comment of like, okay, so guys, if you're watching like a super sexy movie, do you like to watch that comfort of your own home or do you like it where you're like surrounded by people?
Yeah, like
that's what, an interesting dynamic.
Like what was it, 9.5 weeks or whatever? Would you wanna go see that or like some other very erotically charged film. Like, yeah, do you want to...
Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh, yeah, Eyes Wide Shut. You want to... Like, yeah. You're just cool, like, I'm just going to hang out here in a group full of people, man. We're all just going to be turned down watching this weirdness. You know,
but then again, like, at Anime Expo, they had a... There's a network or a site called Faku, and they have a panel called Hentai Worth Watching, and you're watching, essentially, animated porn with an audience and... It's funny though.
That's right.
They do it in a comedic way.
It's worth watching.
It is. Some of them, they were very entertaining.
Coming in at number three, though, and this is a film we're going to sink our teeth into a little bit because not just myself, not just Carrie, but also Neil saw it. So look at that. It's a hat trick of box office breakdown people.
I was so happy I saw opening weekend movie.
That's right. Like, yes. John Wick Chapter 2 from Lionsgate. $30 million there. So. All fans, can I just open up the conversation by saying all fans of the original film?
Absolutely.
Neil?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I thought it was a really, I mean, I'm always a fan of original stories and this one was sort of like a breakout hit. When I saw trailers coming out for, the first John Wick, I was thinking like, okay, this could do well. But I was sort of making fun of it with my friends. Like, oh, he's doing this over a dog. And then I went and saw it, and I was like, no, okay, shut up, Past Neil. This is a badass. This is like Headshot the movie. This is like the action choreography was great and fantastic, and the storyline made sense. It was a solid movie. So I was like, wow, that was actually fantastic. Breakout hit. And so coming into the sequel, like, I was just super pumped, and I liked it a lot.
And there's always a thing with the sequel where you wonder, is it going to take place just immediately after the action of the first film, or does it do a little time jump and you're just catching them, you know, just whether it be months or maybe a year or two later after the events of the original? I really dug how this one just picked up right where it left off and kept on going.
Yeah, oh no, totally. It's one of those that just hit the ground running and kept going. And you guys in chat and then you guys who saw it. The thing I absolutely love about both of them, and I love that the second one continued this, is it's an action movie without shitty, shaky camera, because how many of us are annoyed with like, ooh, cool action movie, and the camera's like, rah, and you can't see anything, and you're just like, oh, great, cool action movie that I can't see any action. The takes are very long takes, so this means there's no cuts, guys, anybody who doesn't know that. Sorry if that sounded very condescending. My apologies. But it's just these like long sequences of fighting where you get to see the fight scene and these super wide shots. So it's not like those quick, really close-up things where you're like, well, they're not really doing it. And there's some really good behind-the-scenes footage where Keanu Reeves like doing a lot of stunts and you can see that he's doing it. And so it's just so rewarding and fulfilling to see an action movie where you can see what they're doing, see the long fight scene, and it looks good and like real. And the like double tap where he just like makes sure people are dead because it's so annoying. And the other action movies were like, oh, I kind of shot somebody in the shoulder and then they come back.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's one part, not really a spoiler at all, guys, don't worry, where there was somebody like crawling on the ground. I'm like, wait, he only shot that guy once and he turns around and shoots him again. I'm like, yes!
Yeah, nobody gets by without a double tap.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, it's so good. So good.
And it was... I mean, it's just interesting the mythology of this. This is based on an original idea, so it's not based on any other property. So it's
John Wick is. I thought it was something like based on something.
No, I believe it's all original concept. So there's, which is really cool, is that he's really created this like really fun universe.
Probably meant
about
like
it.
The first one. You know how like if there's a subsequent movie, they're like Anyway,
but just the universe that this has created, with its own inherent sense of rules and ways that you have to just follow in this kind of world that we've been introduced to.
Yeah.
And I feel like this film really it honors the rules set up in the first one and then shows you the consequences if you don't follow them here in the second one.
Sets it up for a third, too, in a good way.
Yes.
Because there's an early scene, which Neil and we'll try to describe without saying it. Early scene with the manager, we'll just say that, and another gentleman, and then that's it. Which I feel sets up for another one. Because they have the scene, and then they don't come back to it. And you're just like, wait, what does that mean? So then I feel that sets up more for a third.
Yeah, interestingly, yeah.
Do you know the scene I'm talking about?
Where they're sitting outside?
Yeah, on the roof.
Yep.
Because it's a scene, and you're like, that's interesting to include that and not touch it again. So I feel that's part. I mean, that wouldn't be the whole plot, of course, for the next one. But it would be like a good continuation. Oh, and the animated subtitles. Who loved that?
Oh, yeah.
Like the...
That was fantastic.
Oh. Oh, so good. Night Watch and Day Watch did that a little bit. If you guys know those films, Russian vampire movies, they're awesome.
Timur Bekmambetov.
Hmm? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, I keep cutting you off there.
You're good.
Yeah, they have the animated subtitles, and so I like how this one had like big ones, so really could read them. Don't worry, guys, you'll read real fast.
And we get to see Common once again back.
Oh, he was so fun. Yeah.
No, this is fun. It really sets up a great approach for a third film.
They don't do any kind of backstory or anything because you already had the first one. There's no need. Though they have some kind of flashes to like his ex-wife or no longer a wife, live wife. Not really ex in that way of like left her, but she left him.
My wife
not
is
by
no
choice.
Longer alive.
That was about the only flash, but that was good. It gave him like depth.
Yeah, you know, and it's just I think the only thing that's different here is that you don't get... Because I really enjoyed Willem Dafoe's character in the first one.
Right, okay.
And I don't feel like you get a chance to get in deep with somebody else doing that as much as you did like with Willem Dafoe's character.
True. Now, for you guys in the chat and comments, without spoiling anything, what did you think of... did you think Ruby Rose was deaf or mute? And did you like that element of the story?
Yeah, I mean, because I felt like they wanted her to be more than she was. She ultimately turned out to be.
Okay.
But, I mean, it was interesting, but I also felt like, is that all? Is that all it's right. to this thing? Interesting.
Neil? I think it was a decision based on how, like, when you get an actor like that in an action movie, I guess I'll cite, what was that, Gina Carano movie that she was in with, like, Michael Fassbender. It was some sort of like...
Well, she was also this particular actress?
No. I was talking about someone else. But anyway, I think it was an attempt to make sure that she didn't have any spoken lines. Like, maybe that would ruin her character. And this also, in a way, gave her more depth because she would have to sign everything.
I thought it was very interesting. Now, did you think she was deaf or mute?
I think she was deaf because she made noises when she was in that fight with John.
So that means
like she'll scream out a little bit, and so mm-hmm. it sounded like she could use her vocal cords. So maybe she was just deaf.
Yeah. Oh, someone in the chat room said they said Haywire.
Yep, that's the one. Haywire.
I liked it. I thought it was a unique element to the character. The only thing is, if you are deaf, a big problem of being a hitman or hitwoman is anybody could sneak up on you. We were trying to recall if there were reactions where if there was gunshot. If she looked around or if you knew where to go, because then you can't hear that. But then she makes, I mean, maybe it's one of those, she had a vocal cord injury, but can make like exclamation sounds, but not like speak.
Yeah, that's a good point. That makes more sense.
Which was fine. Cause like when she fights, there's some noise that come out, but like doesn't talk, but you know, if you're a fighter, maybe an injury, Mad Dog. And oh no, Adelia in the chat room. I didn't really buy Ruby Rose's character in John Wick. I think some people are kind of hit or miss. I was looking online on IMDb chat room about it, and some people were just like, they weren't thrilled with it. I think it's an artistic choice that was made somewhere and is one of those, you're going to like it or you're not.
Speaking of artistic choices, what did you folks think of Lawrence Fishburne's character in this film?
Oh, so fun.
Yeah, that was fun. It was a little bit of fan service.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was good. Mm-hmm. I he's sort of an intriguing character. Like, he's mm-hmm. in the system, but he's outside the system.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's going to play a pretty big role, or at least a character like that is going to play a big role in the follow-up movie.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he definitely does, like, bend the reality. He doesn't break it. So you're like, what is this guy doing here? But he definitely does push it, just the way that he delivers that performance. He's definitely a little bit more of a colorful character than we've seen. Yeah.
But that whole universe is a little heightened.
Oh, it's real. It's based. That's happening around us all the time. Wait until your phone goes off. You'll realize how many assassins are located just inside AfterBuzz Studios.
It's interesting because we talked about this earlier in the studio, but they set up like this amazing world of rules and like a set like hierarchy and everything. And it's so cool to have things introduced that circumvent that. So like like in the first one, you know, it's all about these rules and everyone's following the rules and John's breaking them a little bit. And that happens to an extent in this one, too. And sort of just builds on that. But then Lawrence Fishburne comes in and you're like, where does he fit in this world? And they never really like spell it out for you. So it's really interesting to try and think about like what his role is in this universe.
He's outside the system.
Somebody get
in number three.
Hopefully,
I think they'll definitely do a third.
Yeah, I don't think you can leave it like this and not. Yeah, what a great way! It's like, guess we're never going to do a third movie. This is just it. You can just imagine what's going to happen to him.
Oh, and Keanu Reeves is just so cool. Just one of those. Oh, aging so well. Just like he's like 52, I think. I saw a thing, and just such a good fighter. And the thing about it too is it keeps it real. Like they're doing these fighting, but when he has some fights later, and then Commons fights too. They're realistically tired.
Yes.
You know, they're not perfect superhero guys. They're like, yeah, I'm fine. Let's keep going for hours. They're just like, need to catch my breath. Hold on. And like in pain or bruising and like, oh, I got to put my shirt on. And like,
yeah.
Well, that's cool.
I do like what Ian McShane says. Like John Wick, like he's probably his greatest ability is just like his will to survive.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's what makes him just, you know, the boogeyman that he is.
Yes.
So folks, if you haven't seen John Wick 2, Chapter 2, it is definitely well worth your time.
Three-way favorite thumbs up from our end, playing off the joke of 50 Shades. Oh, good question, Mad Dog in chat. I wonder if his kill count is higher than the first movie. That's a good question. I think I saw somebody on Twitter's like, I started and then I stopped counting.
I feel like
I think you need to be able to pause it, rewind, and we go back.
That's definitely like something you'd want to do in your second watching. You'd have to, because I imagine the first one, you don't have to just like be distracted by.
Oh, you're like, just like bodies.
Yeah, so like I'll have to go back and watch it again this tomorrow just so I can count the kills.
Yeah.
Make sure. All right, folks, coming in at number four, we've got one that was top in the box office for several weeks. We've got Split from Lionsgate. It's got another $9.3 million to its coffer. And rounding out the box office, Hidden Figures from Fox, $8 million straight up there.
It's great. It's still up there.
Yeah, it's still doing well.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this may be its last weekend we see either Split or Hidden Figures in the top five.
Yeah. Split maybe could drop down to five, unless there's a new horror movie kind of a thing.
Well, there's some great stuff coming.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you worry.
Mm.
Now, folks, just so you know, here we're talking about box office bets. And, of course, the box office bet is just around the corner. The three films in contention we have this week, A Cure for Wellness, Fist Fight, and The Great Wall. I know we've been talking about this movie for months and months and months.
We have.
So,
yeah.
Oh yes, it's definitely one that has to be seen.
I want to address real quick. We were not saying spoilers for John Wick. Don't worry. I mean, there are things that you're not going to be like surprised that we said.
Oh, yes.
People are like, well, spoilers. I'm like, no, we didn't say spoilers. No.
Oh, yeah, no spoilers. No, no spoilers for John Wick. Mm-hmm. Not at all. He still has a beard. Oh, I shouldn't have said too much. I said too much.
Man, those suits.
Oh, yes. Look at that.
That's just about it. That's all you'll get, guys.
He rocks it.
All right.
So before we get in, so folks, start chiming away in the chat room. I know Albin, I saw him in there. Look at that. Who's going to start the voting? Look at that. Albin, thank you so much for already getting the lead on that. Start chiming away in your votes to see which movie we'll do the box office bet on. But in the meantime, we're going to do a little box office rewind. I look for somebody that's been in one of the films that's coming up this weekend. And I do a little look back on their top five opening box offices. So I figured, why not? Let's do Willem Dafoe. We loved him in the first John Wick.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. He's actually going to be in The Great Wall, which I didn't realize that.
He is? Oh, yes. I didn't know that either.
As I was in the theater.
Wait, another white dude? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I saw him in the billboard. And I was like, God, Willem Dafoe's
in
there?
Who does he play in it?
Some guy. Guy with a beard.
Okay.
I don't know.
I haven't seen him in any trailers or anything, so I'm what?
I just saw he's posed out there on the photo. So okay. I'm like, all right. Maybe he's a mentor to Matt Damon, or at least kind of shepherds him into this whole thing. I'm not exactly sure.
That's possible.
But it's got Willem Dafoe, so how can it be bad?
Mm-hmm.
So I figured, why don't we do a look back on his films here? So I actually did, because he has one voice role, but it was a very prominent character in a live action film. So just to honor that, I figured let's just add one more film in for Willem Dafoe. So it'll be a sixth, top six, because number six for him is Clear and Present Danger from Paramount back in 94, $20 million. That was a good. I enjoyed him in the film.
That was
one of the Jack Ryan movies.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
I like that one.
Yeah, that was good. Coming in number five for him, Once Upon a Time in Mexico from Sony.
I think I did see that
back
one.
In 2003, $23.4 million. Yeah, that was the sequel. I can't remember what he played, though, in the sequel. Was he a buddy of Antonio Banderas?
Or don't
was
recall.
He? I can't remember.
Oh, wait. No, I didn't see that one.
Number four for him is Inside Man from Universal back in 2006.
Yes.
$28.9
Love
million.
Love that movie.
That was good. Damn it.
That was a good movie.
I'm trying to think. Is that the last Spike Lee movie that I really enjoyed? I don't know if there's something else out there that I've enjoyed as much since Inside Man.
I'd have to see a list.
Mm-hmm.
Off the top of my head, I'm like, we're not really good with our list.
No, we aren't good with our list. Still, another swing and a miss for the top five, our top five films of 2016.
Yeah,
we tried, folks. Yeah. We tried.
I thought about it today, guys. I thought about you guys when I was driving home, and I'm like, hey, wait. We need to do our list of our top five of 2016. And then I forgot to email Frank.
Now, coming in at number three is the voice performance that he did for John Carter.
John Carter's Outer Space one, yeah?
Yep, John Carter. John Carter from...
Princess of Mars.
Yes.
That's 2012, actually a good movie.
Yeah, you know,
It was a horrible advertising campaign slash none. But it was a cool sci-fi movie. It's a really cool book too, but very different from the book. But that's okay.
I don't know. Taylor Kitsch, did you like him as John Carter?
It was fine.
I think he was fine, but because I feel like the film's great, but maybe with with a different actor, it might have been a little bit better. That's a shame. That's an actor that I enjoyed on Friday Night Lights, and yet I can't think of any film that he's been in that I've really enjoyed. Like oh my gosh, that was so great. And I just felt like, as much as I wish there maybe had been a different actor. And I don't know who that would have been.
Right.
But I just don't know if Taylor Kitsch really sucked me into that. Because I feel like Andrew Stanton, who directed that, it's such a deep in the tank love for John Carter and all that stuff. And I felt like he was set to do multiple films if this film
was
taken off.
And it was really cool in terms of, I started reading the book after the movie and I was like, oh yeah, no, I totally can see they did a good job of adapting it. I mean, they changed things, but obviously in the book it'd be slow in a movie, but it felt like true to it enough.
Yeah.
And I like that world and the movie. I remember when it came out, there was no advertising and
I know. Any of the posters.
It was posters, this was good. Why was there no ads?
Yeah.
No
the posters were all just dull.
Yeah.
Especially when it's only John Carter.
Underrated.
Why are you leaving the Mars part out of it? That's cool.
Though I will say I worked at Blockbuster when it came out and then there was a movie before it came out and it was Princess of Mars. Of one of those, the fake ones, there were these movies, people, if you didn't know about this, they were movies that would come out right before a movie would come out, they had Transmorphers before Transformers, and people would rent those thinking they're the real thing.
And then you're just stuck what am I watching? What is this thing? Yeah. Alvin in the chat agrees, Taylor Kitsch was miscast in the movie. He was good in Lone Survivor, which I did not see. I did not see that Mark Wahlberg film. I just wish Disney put that in marketing. Who know, what kind of world do we live in if they'd actually marketed that correctly? We would have a nice little John Carter franchise.
That'd be fun. Maybe they could do it again later.
That's true.
Remake it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's a fun. I mean, I know that John Favreau was trying to do it for a long time.
Mm.
He was collaborating with Harry Knowles from Anacool News to try to make it happen, and then it just never really took off. And then Andrew Stanton stepped in and was able to make it. Coming in number two for Willem Dafoe, The Fault in Our Stars from Fox back in 2014, $48 million. Never saw that film myself.
I did not see that one.
And probably no surprise if you're well aware of Willem Dafoe's oeuvre. Coming in at number one from Sony Pictures back in 2002, Spider-Man.
That's a big number.
Yeah, $114 million.
Have we seen it? We haven't seen any. Well, Star Wars.
Yeah.
Other than Star Wars, we haven't seen anything break 100 yet, have we?
No. But I'm thinking as we, fast.
We're going to have some coming out.
The Fate of the Furious is only 2 months away. And that comes out, that's going to be bonkers.
You think so?
Oh, come on. Yeah. Maybe just a little bit.
Especially internationally.
Yeah.
Overseas, F8's going to destroy things.
Mm. He's going to run them down?
And run them over.
Look at that. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, before we, again, our box office bet is going to be for Cure for Wellness, Fist Fight, and The Great Wall. Three films in contention. Mm. Before we announce the results of the box office bet, you still have time to vote. We are going to do our top five pick for next week's box office. Now, just a few notes before your prediction, Carrie Lee.
Mm-hmm.
The Last Dragon film, Pete's Dragon, opened in 2016 with $21 million.
I don't know if I'd really call it a dragon. I meant in terms of, like, it's comparison. A dragon movie. But it's a family movie versus an action movie.
But it's a dragon.
You should almost pick, like, the last Matt Damon movie or, like...
Well, we also have Dragon Wars. Opened up in 2007.
I think I saw that. That was cool.
Million. It was cool.
Oh, Reign of Fire. No, that was cool.
With Christian Bale and Matthew McConaughey. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Reign of Fire is my favorite fire-based movie.
Oh, I did like
that. Really?
Fire. I'm just kidding. But it's my favorite dragon-based movie.
Okay.
What about Dragonheart?
Dragonheart's good. You're right. I guess I just haven't seen it in a while. I had Reign of Fire, though, on a UMD, like a PSP movie disc for my PlayStation Portable, and I went on road trips so much that I just watched that like 300 times.
Oh man,
I love that movie.
Our votes are kind of all over the place right now.
Oh, this is great. All right,
this is gonna be good, fun, guys. We like the variety.
All right, so now Cure for Wellness is opening in 2,700 screens. Fist Fight's opening up on 3,000 plus screens. The Great Wall, 3,200 plus screens. So, given that, how do you think it's going to impact our current top five?
That's going to be hard. Well, Lego Batman might hang on to... We're going to talk this out since we got... I was going to say... Yeah, we got a little bit of time. I think Lego Batman might be able to hang on to number one. Because family film, and even if that drops, I don't know how high the other ones are going to get. 50 Shades Darker... I think that might be the allure of opening weekend for that.
I think so. I think the reviews are going to be so...
I think the reviews are going to tank it. John Wick will hang on there for sure. Great Wall could be hit or miss because it's an action movie, but it's like quote-unquote foreign, which kind of alien... Some people are like, meh, which you're like, I don't know why you're missing out on it. You're dumb to miss out.
Now, when you watch the trailers... And you think, oh my gosh, this could be a fun movie. And then you see Matt Damon in it. Does that increase your enjoyment of wanting to see that movie? Or does it like, Matt Damon's in this dragon movie? What's going on? I'm going to pass.
I don't care. I'm neutral.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I'm more like, ooh, that looks visuals, like, and monsters. I'm excited.
Now, when you find out Willem Dafoe is in it, did that increase your wanting to see it?
No.
Absolutely.
That's
I'm
right,
I'm probably going to see it anyways.
Absolutely.
I am curious for Cure for Wellness. That looks really cool and creepy. But, like, Fist Fight for me, I'm like, I shrugged for those of you listening.
I don't know. I mean, I'm part of me is, like, really compelled about seeing Fist Fight. I do like Charlie Day. He's funny. You're not a big Charlie Day fan?
No, just watching that. I think I only saw part of the trailer, and I was like, no.
No? You don't want to see these two teachers get into a fist fight?
No.
They're going to do it. They're going to get into a fist fight on that school lot.
Oh, Media Shock said Fist Fight will make more than The Great Wall in the chat.
That's going to be tough. That is so tough. I mean,
it's one of those, it's hard because it is an action movie, which action movies generally get a lot. But I think John Wick will beat out Great Wall.
I have to admit, I'm really...
You're like...
I wouldn't say I'm on the wall, but I am on the fence about The Great Wall. I just don't... Either it's going to do...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's going to be one of those that's like...
All right. Well, we have somebody giving their prediction, if it helps your ease your mind a little bit.
Oh, Mad Dog.
In the chat, yeah. Okay, Lego, John Wick, Great Wall, 50 Shades, and then Cure for Wellness.
I feel like Fist Fight would do better than 50 Shades. I don't know. I mean, I figure.
Well, do you have your top five?
All right, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go Lego.
Okay.
I'm gonna go Lego. Do I want to go Fist? No, I don't. I'm going to go Lego Fist Fight because, man, Ice Cube's got a lot of love. I mean, think about those ride-along movies. It can't be all Kevin Hart fans that are seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
Ice Cube's got to bring something to the party,
And are there
too.
Any other, like, adult comedy? Well, it's not. Was it rated?
I think it's rated R. It's got to be.
Yeah, how many other adult comedies are out right now?
Yeah, so I'm going to go. I will go Lego Batman Fist Fight. I want to go John Wick, The Great Wall, A Cure for Wellness. That's what my top five is going to be. That's just a pie in the sky shot from a guy at a box office.
Adelia show. In the chat says Lego, John Wick, 50 Shades, Great Wall, Cure for Wellness. So similar, but they kept. You bumped out 50 Shades.
I bumped out 50 Shades, man. See you later. See you later.
Media Shock said Ice Cube movies sell to that weird box office following.
That's right, Media Shock. I'm with you right there, sir.
Okay. I think. Going to be similar. I think I'll go with Lego Batman for number one, John Wick 2.
Ooh, interesting.
You know, maybe. maybe. And then Fist Fight, then Great Wall, and then Cure for Wellness.
Ah, so you're also bumping 50 Shades. Yeah, I like it.
It's out.
Get out of here.
But it's one of those, I think John Wick could like increase by a word of mouth one, because people who've seen it, like all of us, we're going to be like, it was really cool, and we'll you know, people then go catch it.
Neil, do you have any thoughts?
I do.
Please.
I do have thoughts.
All right.
I'm a little hung up on, I mean, Lego for sure, for number one.
Mm-hmm.
It has that mass appeal. I'm a little shaky about this, but here's my list. I have Lego,
mm-hmm.
Fist Fight.
Ooh, all right.
John Wick, The Cure for Wellness, and The Great Wall.
Ooh, all right.
I don't think Great Wall has had enough mass appeal advertising in the States.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to kind of fall off. In fact, I think maybe 50 Shades might actually take number five instead of Great Wall.
How dare you, sir?
It might. The latecomers to the Valentine's Day crowd might pop in there.
Oh, you're right.
And
that's true.
Might take number five.
If you take the person you love to the Great Wall, that's what you should do. If you really love someone.
Did you see the Twitter posts of memes of people are like, your girlfriend thinks you're taking her to 50 Shades, and then you take her to Lego Batman instead, or like jokes like that.
Anything better than 50 Shades.
I wouldn't go 50 Shades for my date. I'd actually probably do Cure for Wellness or Great Wall. I'd be like, yeah, that's what I'm seeing.
I said, however, I think Great Wall is going to kill in China. That's the first production out of Lionsgate East, a new production company coming off of Lionsgate. And it was written with Matt Damon in mind. They want him to try and get that international appeal. And China is quickly becoming almost, I think right now, is currently the largest global film market, usurped the United States for box office revenue. So I think internationally, Great Wall is going to do very well.
Yeah, and the director, according to as a friend of mine said, like this, the director for the Great Wall has never made a bad movie. So,
the visuals already look stunning from the trailer, so that's like winning me over. Neil, chat room really agrees with you, and they like what you're saying, man.
All right, guys. Right. I'm glad everyone sees the light.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Media Shack though says send Matt Damon's ass back to Mars.
Aww.
Media Shack, come on now.
Joke's on you, Media Shack. He can live on Mars.
And that's right. He should. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are getting to part of the show where we are going to do our box office bet. Alvin, if you wouldn't mind just tabulating, giving us a final total, I'd greatly appreciate that. While he's doing that, though, I'll basically just explain the box office bet is that you folks in the chat bet on the film that you want us to place a bet on. The person who's closest to the actual box office total for opening weekend gets bragging rights because they're the prognosticators. The loser, though, will have to go see this film and then tell us all about it.
Sorry, that was a really bad little
speaking
drum
of
roll.
That, while we're waiting for that, too, I did go see, because I lost, I had to go see Rings. Ooh, man.
Oh, yeah?
That was a rough one. That, just, like, I did not care about these people at all.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, that's it's just, the girl, like, it's a high school girl or a college, they're going to college for the first time. And so, but she's staying at home, he's going off, and then, so they're separated and they come back together. And I just didn't, their acting was just, and she does dumb stuff. She makes dumb moves. I don't know. It was just, it was just, it's a shame because the idea for The Rings is fun. And if you're going to come back and do it in this modern age where technology is certainly advanced.
Oh, you would send it so fast. Yes. No VHS tape pass around. You just forward it.
Social media, do all that stuff, But I didn't feel like we saw any
No character development?
No character development, okay. Or just even no like cool twists on the technological aspects of the show, of the film, how you'd disseminate and spread that video to save your life. You're just like, great. So,
I will say I read a thing about I can't recall her name right now, but the girl who plays Samara, the monster in Rings, whatever you'd call her, monster. She's a very lovely, pretty redhead. And she's a contortionist, and she was talking about how at the rap party people didn't know. They're kind of like, who are you? And once they heard her voice and they kind of recognized it, because once she was in makeup you didn't recognize her at all. And it was one of those, like, her father was like a circus performer or something like that, and one of her talents was discovered when she was a kid, and like her little sister's like, so-and-so's being weird, and the father's like, oh no, this is great, you can use this. If like and I'm like, well, I guess if your dad was in the circus, that makes sense. And yeah. So she's I forget what kind of it, but there's like two different kinds of contortionists, of like backbend or joints, and like she's like two of them or something like that. Ooh. So it's really interesting article, about little blurb about her, and so just not what you'd expect at all.
That's true. You know, that just shows you, like, follow your passions, because you never know where they'll lead you.
Exactly. Well, it's one of those things of like, she done contortionist like performance stuff, and then that's how she got kind of involved with that, because they wanted to, I mean, I guess in the defense of Rings and the movies, they had wanted to keep it as human as possible in terms of like instead of CGI. Mm-hmm. And so she had done a lot of the movements herself.
That's great. So which cool. I think that makes it better for sure. So thank you, Albin, thank for the you. Final tally.
Star Fox said Bendy Bonnie on Twitter. Thank you.
Oh, there very we go. Cool. The results for the box office bet from you in the chat: Great Wall 5, Fist Fight 3, Cure for Wellness 2. So, ladies and gentlemen, the box office bet is going to be on the Great Wall. Love it, guys. Yes.
Question, what? I said it was.
You said 5.
I think I said 5, yeah. Because I did Cure for Wellness before it.
I went a little higher. I think I
did. You did.
I went 4, right? No, 3. No, 4. I put it over underneath the Fist Fight, so. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, again, The Great Wall, starring Matt Damon, Willem Dafoe, and many other actors, over 3,200 screens from Universal Pictures. What do you think its box office total will be? Oh, boy. And Neil, feel free to play along as well if you'd like. Let's see. I am going to... Oh, boy.
Like, I put it at 5, but what do I think?
All right, okay, here we go.
Yeah. I might be really wrong.
All right, I'm gonna...
But the funny thing is, with 5, it could either be high or low, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, Any thoughts, guys? Any help? What are your thoughts on... Please, audience, help.
Actually, wait, no.
Maybe I might change my mind depending on what your numbers you pick. So if you guys are watching this live, how much do you think Great Wall will make? And if you're watching this later, you can laugh at what we predicted.
All right. You have any thoughts yet?
Oh, they weren't fast enough. I guess I'm going to stick with my answer.
All right. I've got mine. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go.
15.
25.
Well, I did say 5, and you said it was 3, so.
Yeah. All right. Fingers crossed.
I'm in at 11.
11. Oh! Neil playing very reserved.
I don't think it's going to do that well in the U.S.
Starter said,
I think those clickbait whitewash headlines are going to sort of pour it out of the market here.
Ah, yeah.
So I'm going to stick with 11, see how it goes.
Star Drew says 19 in the chat room. All right, you're kind of in the middle.
Fine.
Well, that's what I mean, but with it not being a white director as well, I'm like, and he himself had an article like, all right, give it a chance before you're going to freak out about it. Which yes. I would. I'm probably planning to see that and Cure for Wellness.
So. Oh, man, everybody's agreeing more on Carrie and Neil's side. Media Shock is locking in at 16.7.
Adelia agrees with me, 15.
Oh, man. All right, great.
Media Shock, 16.7. All right,
Oh, man. Ooh. Oh, gosh, guys. You guys 9, are going the wrong way 12. On these bets in the chat. Come on, who's with me? Get out of here on this $25 million
ledge. Now you guys are chiming in. I was trying to get them to say something. Man. You're making Frank freak out, Room. Oh, great. My goodness.
Fine.
That's a lot of competition. I agree. That's true.
It's got dragons and the Great Wall, and it's got 12, Matt Damon and Willem Dafoe. Guys, don't underestimate the appeal of Willem Dafoe. Please. All right.
No.
Another 12 point. Oh, gosh, guys. Oh, all right, fine. Once again, I'll just
be this
lonely man out here on the bridge alone, looking back at you guys all safe and sound with your 15s and your 9s and your 12s and your 11s. Got it. That's cool. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've broken my heart. I need to go and console myself for a little bit. But ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. But the fun does not stop here. You know what you can do? You can like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat. Thank you, Album, for keeping track of the votes. Thank you, everybody else, for joining in, sharing your thoughts, as well as voting on the Box Office Bet. The show is so great, and you help make it that great. Thank you, Neil, for chiming in and sharing your thoughts as well. It was so fun to have you on the show.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Glad to be a part of it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, such an enthusiastic response, Neil. Great. Look forward to having you back again.
Oh, yeah, I'm super excited. Let's try and do this again sometime.
That's fine.
But if you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show's over, if you want to just say how, like, you said 12, but you really believe me that it's 25, but you're too ashamed to make that in the chat, feel free to tweet me about that. That's all right. Carrie, where can they find you, though?
Yes, you guys can find me online, Twitter, Instagram at Carrie Dlane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And make sure to give the video a thumbs up, because we like seeing those thumbs up. And we want to see your comments down below.
And you can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at HappyGoJackie. And, you know, come on, guys. It's all right. It's cool. 25 is a really cool number, man.
No, that's when you're like, guys, go see Great Wall. Go see it now.
Go see it twice. All right, everybody.
Take your whole family.
Take everybody. You know, bring your neighbors. Bring your bitterest enemy. Like, reconcile over the Great Wall. Look at that.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. Thanks for watching. We'll see you back here next Sunday night for another episode. Yep. Until then, eat lots of popcorn and watch the Great Wall.
See ya.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.